indicating the authority of the believer. Say, I am a believer, and I have authority in Christ. And in this service, I learned accurately and precisely what that authority is. So it's time to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't forget the background of this statement is to rightly divide the word of truth in the Old Testament scriptures. In other words, you must use the word carefully. The word there is orthotomeo, O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. It means to be careful and handle delicately the words that you use. Now, Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 into 7 has also warned and admonished that there are some people in verse 7 who desire to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they say or what they affirm. That means you must understand the Old Testament before you use it to say anything. There's an understanding of the Old Testament that you should have. For example, look at the use of enemies. The word enemies. Okay? Jesus already changed our understanding of the phrase enemy. Look at Psalm 68 verse 1. I remember back then, back then just a few years ago, so I don't want to sound like in the 14th century. But then we used to have this prayer meeting, and if you're attending the prayer meeting, and the prayer meeting is not so hot, there is this song that when you sing it, there's just the automatic prayer fire. People are already weak and you are praying, you are saying, let God arise and his from everywhere. Prayer fire just starts. And his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. And I never say, and God arose and his enemies are scattered. And let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them also hit him free. Now, if all you did was read and you read further, you would discover that he was referring to the redemption that is found in Christ, and then basically his resurrection. So, when he mentions enemies, and you read Psalm 110 verse 1, where he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. A scripture that Jesus quoted in Matthew 22:41 simply means the enemies are not human beings. So you need to realize that. When it comes to human beings who don't like you, who hate you, Matthew 5:44, your verse being said, 43, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Now I say to you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father. That's the word of God. So if you go to the Old Testament and you see the word enemies, okay, you must use it well. Don't use it carelessly. Don't use it carelessly. I remember yesterday we sang the song about our study in the book of Exodus. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And then there's this place that says, from deliverance, I've forgotten that part, man. From my enemies, in your mind, people in your office, or your school, or your family. No, I said, change it to the enemy. Jesus has told us to love people, not to hate people, not to wish them bad. And then he shows us an enemy. And that enemy is not a human being. He might use human beings, which he does. But we know how to relate with the human beings while we deal with the enemy. So you must use those words carefully and not be caught using them wrongly. For example, in this study, we have looked at the word sacrifice. Alright? And we said, the word sacrifice, therefore, has been reworked in the New Testament. For example, when we mention sacrifice now, two things come to mind. What Jesus has done for us and what we do for others. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yourself, a living sacrifice, zahotousia, that is a sacrifice of your life. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice of your life. And you are talking about service, which is your reasonable service. So sacrifice now is service. You know, in the Old Testament, I think I shouldn't be that way, so yes, you know, until Moses, sacrifice for sins, you know, sacrifice was not for sins. It was for worship. For worship. To show worship. To show honor. And he says today, sacrifice is to show worship to God, to show honor. We serve others. We serve God to others, let us hear. A living sacrifice. Hebrews 13:16 also shows us the sacrifice is to do good. Hebrews 13:16. Also for the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13:15. Then we have Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the death of Jesus, a sweet smelling savor. Philippians 4, Paul says that when they gave to him, or when they gave gifts, a prophet it was brought gifts to him, he calls it in verse 18 an odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. So giving is that sacrifice. So now, pay attention. Our sacrifice is for God, but it's to me. Our sacrifice is for God, but it's to me. So you must know how to use those words well. So if you go to the Old Testament now, and you see where Abraham offered a sacrifice, or Noah, or Joseph, or Jacob, or Isaac, that now relates to our service for God amongst men. You're using the scriptures properly. So, service is now our sacrifice. Hallelujah. And Jesus demonstrated that because by dying for our sins and being raised from the dead for our sake, he is making a sacrifice to us and for us. Jesus in John 15, he says to his own disciples, John 15, I'll read verse 30. Greater love of no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Okay? Then he says in verse 40, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Therefore I call you my servants, but the servants also what the master doeth. I call you friend for all I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So he says the greater love is to lay down your life. In other words, to serve others. So every time you read the four Gospels, and it says, who is my disciple indeed? He says, he who takes up his cross, hates his own life, and then he follows me. It simply means he makes his life a life of service for me to others. So we rework those words. We rework the use of words like sacrifice, enemies. For example, the words like the bread and the wine. I'll have to say it again and again till it's very clear to us. But I didn't mention 1 John 3:16 as well. It says, hereby we perceive the love of God that he gave, laid down his life for us. Therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now look at 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Jesus Christ, or Christ our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He calls Christ the Passover. And he calls our fellowship, the fellowship of unleavened bread. Which means that he brings the sacrifice of the Passover feast in Exodus 12 and 13, and he brings it to Christian worship. Pay attention. Remember, when the Passover happened, Moses gave them an instruction to celebrate the Passover unto all generations among themselves. In other words, what God has done for you in saving you, you celebrate it by doing it amongst yourselves. That's the application of that today. We studied that in the last few days. Now, in chapter 10, the writer, that's Paul, he talks about that bread. And whenever you see words that are used in this way, you know I've told you many times, when something is impossible, it is what? A figure of speech. When he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, and verse 16, now he started from 15 by saying, I speak to wise men. those who are in Christ. So he says, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the covenant of the blood of Christ. Now, you know, the blood of Christ is not in any cup. It's not in any cup. Have you ever seen the blood of, who has ever seen the blood of Christ before? I haven't. Have you? Except in movies. You haven't seen it before. So that means a figure of speech is intended here. Now, by saying again, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now, that's figurative. Now look at verse 17. Let's take 17 together. For we have been many, after the body are you bread? Actually, the body are you bread? Now answer that. Okay, so you are not bread. So if you are not bread, how is Jesus bread? Right? Ask him again, are you bread? Okay, your brother. So if you are not bread, Jesus couldn't have been bread. But he just called us one bread. Which means the use of bread there, it was symbolic. Because in Israel, when they took the Passover, they shared the bread amongst themselves, which shows fellowship. So he uses the word bread as fellowship. So in chapter 11, when he says, the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and took the wine, he's still talking figuratively, mentioning the sacrifice of Jesus. And he says, you do this in remembrance of him, that is, you fellowship one to another. You share one with another in remembrance of him. The same way he gave himself for us, you give yourself for the present. He's not talking about eating bread and wine. He now says, now, if you come together, which ought to be that one bread? And then there are those who don't have, and those who have, and those who have are shaming those who don't have. He says, you are eating damnation to yourself. Now, when he says you are eating damnation, it's not that you open your mouth and you took damnation and put it inside. He's saying that that action of yours condemns you. Because you are one bread. That you are guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. What do you mean? You are guilty of defying our fellowship one with another. So for this reason, some are weak, some are sick, some even die. That is when we don't share, when we don't sacrifice, when we don't live the life of Christ in the fellowship of our brethren, some are weak, some are sick, and some even die. He's not saying because people are eating Holy Communion wrongly. No. He's saying because believers are not sharing with one another. So when you see words like that, be careful on how you use words. Let me say I'm not very crazy, though. So, now imagine this. I've said this many times. When a scripture is not properly interpreted, a major truth oftentimes is lost. Always weigh the implications of how you interpret the scripture. Weigh the implications. Sometimes you might correct yourself, but many times those you thought will take a step forward. They say things that you didn't even intend, even in your own error. And on the ministry, I was told that I always know that your listeners will take whatever you say to the next level. They will try to take it to another level. So therefore, be very circumspect and discreet in how you speak. Sometimes I hear what people say, I say, even in this service, I didn't take that from you. In the same service. Now imagine if you teach error. They will now give you anointed error. Error in double portion. So be careful. Look at how many Christians today gather and they read what somebody said is there without checking it. And they have what you call the Holy Communion services, where the body of Jesus Christ is shared in bread and his blood in testifying. Sometimes a million people can gather and do that. When Moses read, it grieves upon their heart. Because Christ is not a symbol. It's a reality in our hearts. How do we celebrate this Passover? By demonstrating Christ among one another. So always know the way words are used. And use it well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 11, the last verse, he says, when you come together, wait for one another, so that nobody goes home hungry. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 33 and 34. So, look at the word fight, for example. You go to the Old Testament, you see fighting. And you come to the New Testament. The New Testament explains the Old Testament to you. And you see, how does the word fight? How is it used in the New Testament? That's it. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, it is the word "puktio," P-U-K-T-U-O. It means to box. It's used to use your fist to box. 1 Corinthians 9:26. And what was Paul talking about? 1 Corinthians 9:26. I fight. What was one that beat the air? What's the fight? I keep my body under. It's a fight with your desires. A fight with your desires. So, what is the New Testament fight? One example, to fight your desires. I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Hallelujah. Word word. And so what you find is in 1 Timothy, for example, chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. It's an intimacy to maintain that confession of the gospel. Fight the good fight of faith. It says that in the midst of false teachers, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Then in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7, and there's the word agon, A-G-O-N. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Why did he say that? Because he told Timothy to preach the word in verse 2. The instant is out of season. So, the preaching of the gospel is a fight. So, the preaching of the gospel is our fight. It's a fight. In James chapter 4, verse 17, another word there anyway, is the word machia, M-A-C-H-E-A. It's used for quarrels. Quarrels, that is where you are fighting one another. And basically it's talking about strife. So that's James 4:17. You find examples of that word, pay attention, in 2 Corinthians 7:5, 2 Timothy 2:23, Titus 3:9. 2 Corinthians 7:5, 2 Timothy 2:23, Titus 3:9. How do what you see is in Philippians 1:30? Philippians 1:30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now you hear to be in me. Conflict. Conflict here means the warfare. Conflict. Which you see in me. A contest. And what's he talking about? Persecution. So, he's saying, I'm bothering on the word of God in the midst of persecution. Again, what's the conflict about? The conflict is about the preaching of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold for our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention, conflict. Much conflict, much contention. Much contention. Colossians 2:1. For I would that you knew that what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for many have not seen my face in the flesh. Again, it's related to the preaching of the gospel. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, seeing we have some way of capacity with our witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, let me get into this, and the sin that does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race. That word race is the same word conflict that is set before us. So, the fight is a fight with the gospel. It's never a fight for yourself. The Christian fight is not a fight for yourself. It's always a fight with the gospel. A conflict, a fight. Another word is the word warfare. Now when you hear warfare, have you ever heard warfare prayer before? You heard about warfare, what's it? You raise your hand. What's warfare prayer? Tell us now. When you are smiling, there's no warfare in your face. What's warfare prayer? No, sit down so that nobody sees your warfare. What's it? Killing the enemy's prayer. Which enemies? From your father's household. Something like that. So you now leave their name one by one. Are I telling you? At the tower. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You get that? Can those things work? Yes. But for the devil. If you have ever seen a Christian pray those prayers and get people to die, he was used for the devil. Have you watched Yoruba movies before? Huh? When I was younger, we used to watch this Fadi Yoruba, you know? And that guy had some powers, man. People were fearful, it was so fearful, people were fearful of him. And he would say things and people would die. I've never seen, if you've seen those movies before, I see Christians that pray those warfare, the one she said, the warfare prayers, he said, they are from the same place. When you pray for people to die, you are making incantations to destroy people. That is business, Peter! When I was in the university, there was this lady. She had come for a meeting, I thought, of the leaders come. And I told her who you are in Christ. She was very excited. Oh, she even came and said, I was so blessed by that you are a gift to the body. Everybody's not a gift to the body. You are a gift to the body. And I said, thank you. So not long after that, I went to the hostel of the person who invited me for that conference. And then I saw her. She sat down looking very unkempt, angry, scoffing. She said, ah, how is this? I said, I'm not myself. She said, somebody is going to die tonight. I said, that's interesting. You are here, someone's going to die tonight. I hope it's not me. She said, so I was a person. The guy then was the sub-dean. I think was the sub-dean of the faculty of law. And we both belong to the same faculty. I was in my third year, she was in her fifth year. She said, he's going to die tonight. She mentioned the guy to the top. And I like the guy. Because the guy helped me to cross from another university to school. So, and I said, hey, what did he do? He said, he's going to fail me. He's going to fail me. You know that Nigerian prayer. And the guy was going to fail me. When he prayed this kind of prayer, he said, African-based prayer point. She said, he's going to fail me. He said, so what are you going to do? Ah, nothing. Nobody can tell me after God's hour and stay alive. Hey! You're gonna die tonight! I said, but he's not yet a Christian. Yes! We'll be looking for him! Oh, God! They're all like, I gotta go. No one's gonna die. Eventually, I saw her the next session. I think next semester. At the faculty buffet, she was buying food, I was buying food. The man didn't die. She didn't die. So I said, hello. She looked at me, one time, and I went, hallelujah. You get that boy. So you don't want for the devil. The way to the word warfare, okay? Warfare is used in scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:7. Paul used it for a literal soldier. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Who brought a warfare? And they don't charge, he's talking about earthly soldiers. Warfare. Then 2 Corinthians, so 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man which warreth, okay, talking about a soldier, 2 Timothy 2, 4, which warreth, entangled himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. If you look at the background, it's talking about hardness, being hard with the gospel, continuing the message of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 1:18, 1 Timothy 1:18, prophecies, he says to Timothy, have gone before of you, that thou with them might wage what? A good warfare. Notice that every time Jesus said, is not with the idea of bringing down anyone or killing anyone. It has to do with the gospel being preached appropriately and precisely. So, get that into your mind. The fight of the believer today has to do with the gospel. And he fights his desires. He fights, pay attention, the opposition to the gospel. He fights the persecution to the gospel. And we need to now find out how does he do it. He fights persecution to the gospel. He fights his own desires that are contrary to the gospel. He fights opposition to the gospel. There is no fight that is about you. Tell me there is no fight. That's about me. Very good. So in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. I remember I was speaking to someone years back. In Ibadan, and I said, and they said, we are doing warfare, all this warfare. I said, you've never fought for warfare. He said, come to our church, their secretary. I said, no, you never fought for warfare. I said, when last did you go on evangelism? She said, she's not in the evangelism department. I said, you've not fought for warfare. You've only been working for the devil. Put the people's names in an idea. Are you in church? Alright. Verse 3. Then we walk in the flesh, he says, for and he says, we war not after the flesh. Uses the word stratio in the Greek. We war not. Our strategy is not after the flesh. S-T-R-A-T-E-U. T-E-U-O. Our strategy is not of the flesh. Then it says the weapons of our warfare. The man once said, I'm going to give you weapons today. And he gave them bottles of handkerchiefs and tasty time. And he quoted this verse. And I said, but the verse says they are not carnal. And you bought bottles. Bring my mind back to a book I saw on deliverance. Why you need deliverance? That was the title of a prominent evangelist in Nigeria. So I was interested because it was my mom who bought the book. My mom buys me books like that. So I saw the book. I said, let me see this book. So when I saw the first scripture the man quoted was Colossians 1:30. That was the first scripture. I said, wow! Who has delivered us? He quoted that was the first verse. And I was interested. He said, though we know this is really the God's word, but we know it is not true in reality. He wrote it in the book. and the book has sold thousands. When you read a book like that, that quotes the word of God, but says in reality, and you continue reading, are you sure they're born again? He just threw away the integrity of God's word. So in reality, we know as Africans, we have to enforce these things into our lives. It is the weapons of our warfare. The word here is the word hopon. H-O-P-L-O-N. A word used for a literal army in John 18:3 and John 18:3 two times when he came to arrest Jesus. The hopon. Now, sorry, I didn't have this one. So the warfare. Also at James 4:1 and 2 Peter 2:11. About lust. Sorry for that. 2 Peter 2:11. The warfare also has to do with lust. What I said to you is our desires, right? Alright? With the gospel. Don't forget that. So, he uses the word opium here, weapons, tools of war. In John 18:3 is literal for a physical army. And Jesus told them in the same John 18, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If we are of this world, I will bring my own soldiers to fight. That shows you that he makes a distinction for us. Pay attention here. Now, in Romans 6:12, that word weapon is also used by Paul. And he uses it as instruments. Where they use your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Rather, instruments of righteousness. Open. In Romans 13:12. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore pass off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Spiritually speaking. The weapon of light. The instrument of light. In 2 Corinthians 6:7. Of course, the weapons of light there refers to the walk of the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right and on the left. That's talking about the preaching of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 6:7. So the word warfare is used for the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 10:4, when it says the weapons of our warfare, the word warfare, again is the word stratia. And I told you the word we war there is the word stratia, the word stratia, S-T-R-A-T-I-A. Same word that appeared earlier in 1 Timothy 1:18. It says they are not carnal. They are not carnal. Now let me explain what that means to you. Paul is not saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they are not chair and table. No. They are not of the flesh. Which means we don't fight with the flesh. We won't use hatred. We won't use malice. We won't use we'll use greed. Who will use covetousness? Who will use bitterness? The weapons of our warfare are not from the flesh. They are not from the old man. It's the old man that fights with bitterness. The old man fights with... I remember when I was in secondary school, I seen it recently, we had over a family meeting. We call it a family day. And so boys were there. I remember what we used to do back those days. So I said, I know Itai, you used to do this thing. I said, I've not forgotten. We call it devil's life. I will incite two people to fight themselves. I just make one person angry against the other person. And then he said, don't fight in yourself. If you fight in yourself, the same one will beat you. Let's go to devil's life. To write a place called devil's life, where you can kill yourself. You say, I'm not fighting. I say, you can't go like that. Give him a dirty slap. give him five slaps. That means I'm stirring up anger. One day, like a senior caught two of them. He said they will beat themselves. And he tells me, we're not fighting again. We're not fighting again. How did I do it? Just incite one person to get angry. Get somebody to be bitter. Have you seen yourself do something that just give somebody a dirty slap? No, they don't just slap, they get a slap. There is a slap that turns you out and turns me out now. You get it. My mother has that one. My mother used to use cane. It wasn't as important. My mother slap. It has grace. She gives it power. That cartoon style was real. You see power. My mother is very blessed. After doing that, she will not teach you Bible. Sit down. You know, if you told me this song, say, pardon my soul, whatever you are picking up, I gave you to control. Whenever. I read that one, the other one, Savior, like a German. So, there is this, you want to know what you are not from the flesh. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I want to be revenge. Said, no. The weapons of our warfare. So when you see people pouring out of anger, their weapons of warfare is carnal. That's what you want to do. See? Can you wait till somebody will talk with your destiny? Then they will just incite you to get angry. They are destiny breakers, destiny professors, destiny confusers, destiny kidnappers, destiny arresters, destiny arresters. You are already getting angry. Yes, Sister Dennis. Yes. That's the one. Hallelujah. What they are doing for you is what James was saying. There's quarrels. There's tearing up the flesh. As demons now start to work with you. But the weapons of our life, they are not coming. They don't come from anger. They don't come from bitterness. They don't come from vengeance. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says they are mighty through God. Hallelujah. Does God get bitter? Does he get angry? Does he take vengeance? Does he covet? No, he doesn't destroy. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down. Number one brother that watched on television then. And they said they were going to pull down. The man said, put your hand on your head. And the man said, put your hand on your head. I want to watch that brother. The man said, put your hand on your head. I put my hand on my head. Said, your hand said, my hand. Said, my neck. Leg. I said, no. Do what you want to do. Hand, my leg. So you now come and give me. The man said, don't put your hand on this. I need to pull down some gold. Oh, see me. And I'm see strongholds in their life. Pulling down strongholds. What do you mean strongholds? The word stronghold is the word fortress. Hey. What you know, man? It's the word fortress. And to pull down means to destroy. The word katairio, A-I-R-E-O. K-A-T-H-A-I-R-E-O. A word that Paul used later on for you to know the difference in chapter 13 and verse 8. Sorry, verse 10. Chapter 13 and verse 10. Paul says, therefore, let these things be not saying, let's be present as you sharpness according to the power which God has given me for edification, not for destruction. He already told you that the power of God does not destroy people. So that means the pulling down of strongholds does not destroy men. It will edify men. When strongholds are pulled down, it builds men up. So our warfare does not destroy men, it builds men. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, look at what he calls strongholds. Casting down what?
Imaginations.
The word imagination there is the word arguments. Logismos. L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. Arguments. The word used in Romans 2:5. Arguments. Arguments. Those who argue with the word of God. Arguments in men's minds. Doubts. Logismos. Why is he saying that? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Put it aside together. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves your servants. Verse 6, let's go. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. Go back to your parents then. So, that means the blinding of the man's mind to the gospel is that a stronghold? Is that a stronghold? So, what do? We pull it down by preaching. We pull it down by preaching. Let's follow through. He said to cast down imaginations and every high thing. Now, Paul uses a word here, epairo, E-P-A-I-R-O, a height. Something that people look up to. That's what I think. People are looking up to it. That means, you know, you can have things in your mind that you don't believe. Some things you watch in movies, you read around, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Some people believe, for example, if somebody puts something in your food, they will kill you. They believe it. I don't. I've never believed it. And I used to share this story about someone. I wasn't even knowledgeable of a believer. I'm talking about 29 years back. And someone admitted that put something like oliver gas in my food 3 times. And that means the person eventually died. And I didn't even know. And I'm here. I didn't even know much of my rights in Christ. You know? I've never believed it. I see it. I know it happens to people, but I know it can't happen to me. So it's not a high thing. But there are some people like that. If you give them food, the kind of prayer they pray, the food will go cold. Everything in this Father, I suck out the nutrients. Oh, sorry. The Bible did not say pray over your food so you won't die. So receive with thanksgiving. That's the food. They offer you food. Oh, no, no. Why am I talking about mom again today? If they gave you food and you eat it, my mom will eat you first. What are you going to do? If it's publicly, nobody will know. She just put your head. Somebody would come. I was not so surprised when somebody that used to come to us regularly give us food. So One day I told him, I said, you are like Job. Job said he was offering sacrifices every day, believing that his children have sinned against God. Did I tell you? Assumption. There are people today in some churches. When members visit their own houses, and brought John, leave your house. Just sacrifice the place in Jesus' name. Everything, every prayer they came here, let him go to you in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, that is not Christianity. No. That is African religion. ATR. African traditional religion. So I've never believed it. Remember one time, like someone came and said, this thing is a, jazz or something. He said, it's meat. Add it. So I've never believed it. Does it harm people? Yep. Do demons walk through them? Yet. But it was never a high thing, though. Every high thing. You just only can call your name from the village. Shadi! Shadi! Jabuda! Yay! Hallelujah! I want somebody to come to you. I'm not going to eat. I said, what's up? Hallelujah! But let me share some experiences with you. It's not a high thing for me. What about you? God's word is a high thing for me. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Hupsoma. The word exalt is the word hupsoma. A word used for Christ. That wants to stand in the stead of Christ. Every high thing. Now, you know, I've already spoken about what you call juju. There's also philosophy. Philosophies. Men's ideas. Science can be like this. Science can be like this. Now, this is not directly applicable, but we can apply it in a way. For example, some people in their mind, and I've said this to many people who are doctors, because I've always related with doctors for many years, and some of them pastors, they have this feeling that subtly denies miracles. I remember a doctor friend could not say, this person is healed. She couldn't say it directly. She said, he's getting better. But that's a medical phrase. I said, no, he's not better. Healed. Okay, by faith. Then, no! There's a high thing. Is medical science evil? No. But don't exalt it against the knowledge of the Word of God. God's power has no scientific explanation. Do you hear me? Have none. Praise the Lord. That's not. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings you into captivity. I love that word. It's a word that means to take into prison. Luke 21:24. To take captive. Okay, let me spell it for you. A-I-C-H-M-A-L-O-T-I-Z-O. Aichmalotizo. Alright. A-I-C-H-M-A-L-O-T-I-Z-O. It's also in Romans 7:23 and 2 Timothy 3:6. Used for people that are caught into diverse lusts. It has a noun in Luke 4:18 where Jesus said he came to set free the captives. Aichmatolos. So it says, we'll bring it into subjection. We'll bring it into captivity. That is, we'll make the talk to be subservient to what we are saying. Every high thing that exalts itself brings every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at the word thought. The word thought is the word Nohema. N-O-M-A. N-O-M-A. It is the word that Paul used in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. That is the purpose, intent, deep-seated feeling, the minds. That's the same word Paul used in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Satan has corrupted people's minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. Same word in 2 Corinthians 3:4. Their minds are blinded when Moses is read. 2 Corinthians 3:14, sorry. There's 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'll take it again. 2 Corinthians 2:11, 3:14, 4:4, 11:3. It relates with the gospel. So people's thoughts about the gospel. Now, this is Paul answering what he had said earlier in 4:4. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost. In whom the God of God has blinded their minds. Now, do we leave them that way? No. We wear. Are you there? We pull down strongholds. Are you there? That's what we do. In other words, preaching the gospel is a warfare. So what are we warring against? Are we warring against persons or the ideas? Exactly. The things that they believe. She's bringing people to the obedience of Christ or for them to listen to Christ. So when you see warfare, warfare in the epistles to the believer is his conduct. So warfare is my conduct. Right. So warfare is your conduct, is the way you practice the word of God. The way you practice the word of God, the way you preach the word of God is a warfare. So in 2 Corinthians 2:14, giving thanks to God, or thanks be to God, who causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge. So, warfare is about the knowledge of God's word in every place. 1 Corinthians 9:26, as I read earlier, is about preaching the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:4, preaching the gospel. So the preaching of the gospel and the believer's life and a conduct or walk is called the warfare. Warfare against desires, warfare against opposition, warfare against persecution. So go to Ephesians chapter 6. So write this down. The believer's authority is also not for self. The believer's authority is for the gospel. What did I say? Everybody? It's for what? The gospel. Say it again. It's for the gospel. Our warfare is for the gospel. Our weapons is for the gospel. So Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. Just be strong in the Lord, which means be strengthened in the Lord. You already have the strength. So as you be strengthened in the Lord, I mean, use the strength that you have. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Not that word put on in the Greek is keep putting it on. Keep putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Where are the wiles of the devil? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You were dead in trespasses and sins, who walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks where? In the children of disobedience. So where are the wiles of the devil? They are in men. So it's our stand with the gospel, or for the gospel, amidst men who have the wiles of the devil. The weapons of our warfare. Same thing. He says here, take on the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word there is the word pale or pale, P-A-L-E. It means to sway. You know the way, have you been in the rain before? And then there's a lot of rain, and then you're trying to see, okay, the way your car wipers does. It takes off, that's pale. Warding off distractions. Warding it off. Warding off. So it is like a conflict. To sway away. It is used for throwing away an opponent. To throw off your focus. So he's saying here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, when there's opposition to the gospel, do not see flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are all found in men. Even though your warfare is not against a man. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, the word panoplia in the Greek, P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A, the word used by Jesus in Luke 1:12. So panoplia is a combination of two words. Pasa, which is everything, and the word opla. Remember we said opla is weapon. So take on all the weapons. All the weapons. Take on all the weapons. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now go to chapter 5, you'll see the word evil day in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice the word able. The word able is where you have the word power. In what he uses in verse 10 and chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. What is it for? That's what we're reading. Until he is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. What is the power for that we're able to what? Stand. The word stand there is the word oppose. Anti. Or antistemi in the Greek. A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It's used by Amis to ward off influences. To ward off influences. Istemi is to stand. So antistemi means what is against my stand or to ward off what is swaying me or to oppose what is swaying me. So Paul says to us that as we hold on the gospel, the power of God, our authority, is for us to take a stand. A stand in the midst of persecution, a stand in the midst of opposition. It is known that the weapons of your warfare and carnal, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of your warfare are carnal. So he says you are able to stand in the evil day, in the evil time. You are able to take a stand for the gospel. That's what he's saying. So he begins to list what he calls the weapons. He says, number one, stand therefore. So look at the emphasis. How many times does he mention stand? Let's look at it, verse 11. You may be able to stand against the wrath of the devil. 1. Verse 12. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, having done all to, how many times then? 3. The last one. Stand. So how many times do you have to stand? So what is the weapon for? To stand. It means to stay in the same place and not yield. And not yield. Not to give into pressure, not to back into opposition. That is what this is for. able to stand in the evil day. So he says, stand therefore. He says, take on, the first thing he says, the loins girt about with truth. The loins girt about with truth. Now we're talking about belt of truth. Now don't go literal with Paul. He just uses an armor to explain Christian conduct. Truth is the word he uses in chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is where? Where is the truth? Chapter 4, verse 22. The truth is where? In Christ. In chapter 1, verse 13, he calls the gospel the message of truth. The message of truth. Truth that is found in Christ. In Ephesians 4, 24, it says, true holiness is found in God in Christ. Okay? Then it says, having the breastplate of righteousness. Again, the righteousness there is a righteousness that's asked by faith. The nature of a believer, Ephesians 4:24, that which causes us to do things that are right. The truth that is found in Christ. Then again, he goes further and says, the breastplate of righteousness. Then let me finish short with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me finish short with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me go back to something before I skip that. When we mention your loins, the loins is often used for the mind. Opus. Your loins guarded. Opus. Guarded is the word perizonomi, P-E-R-I-Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. A word that Jesus used in Luke 12, 35 and 37 for your own desires. Luke 12. 35 and 37. What does Jesus say there about guarding? He says, God, let your loins be guarded and above your lights are burning. And he's talking about your desires. Be watchful. In 1 Peter 1, 13, Peter uses the same word. It means be watchful with the truth. It's talking about a position where you guard yourself. That means that you are not careless. You don't allow unusual desires to come into your heart. Guard yourself. You have the power of God to do that. That's what he's saying. He says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Before I go there, let me mention the other things he says. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I remember years ago, the way I taught this verse was so terrible that I wish I can go back and take it back. I used to say, above all, that this is the most important part of the armor. Above all, that what is why you don't need the rest. Because I heard it from someone. The word above all is Old English. It actually means in this. Too bad for me, man. It means in this. That is, with what you are doing, take on the shield of faith, para lambano. Take it with this. Take it alongside. Alongside what? Verse 12, verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation there is the word etomasia. H-E-T-O-I-M-A-S-I. H-E-T-O-I-M-A-S-I. It means inside of you. Preparation there is to create a desire in your heart. A preparation for the gospel of peace. What does it mean? A desire. Notice that the feet now used by Paul shows how you go around. So therefore, the activity is with the feet. So this armor is built around the preaching of the gospel. This is a word upon God from Isaiah 52 verse 7. Our beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. So that verse is for those who preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says the same thing. How shall they hear, verse 14 or verse 15, without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Then he quotes the same text. So the whole arm of God is for believers as they contend the fight with and preach the gospel from place to place. The preparation of the gospel of peace. What do you mean gospel of peace? Not difficult. In chapter 2, verse 15, he called Jesus that peace. The death of Jesus, the sacrifice for Christ, for us, sacrifice of Christ, is that peace for us. And then, go on. He talks about verse 17. The helmet of salvation. Okay? Helmet of salvation. Where is salvation? Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 14. Or verse 13. Is the gospel that brought that salvation. The helmet of our salvation in Christ. In other words, guard yourself with the gospel. All he has said so far is, guard yourself with the gospel that you preach. So as you go from place to place, he says that you must be ready to stand for the gospel. So this believer's authority, the power of God, is available to the believer that he doesn't quit. He doesn't back down. He's not overwhelmed or overcome. As he stands for the gospel from place to place, city to city, nation to nation, then he says, the shield of faith, where you're able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Again, the word able. To quench there is the word spenumi. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. It's a word used to put out a fire that is already on. To put out a fire that is already on. Matthew 12:20. Mark 9:44, 46, and 48. Matthew 12:20. Mark 9:44, 46, and 48. Also used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Hebrews 11:34, used for the violence of the sword against those who believe by faith. He says there's an ongoing fire, which means the believer is born into an atmosphere of persecution. It doesn't just emerge suddenly. You mustn't be shocked or surprised that there's opposition to what you preach and there's persecution to it. It's already a flaming fire. He says, watch this, to quench the fiery, the word fiery there means flaming, puro. P-U-R-O-O. Flaming. In other words, it's not going to come easy. 1 Corinthians 7:9, used for passion. 2 Corinthians 11:29, and 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Corinthians 7:9 for passion. 2 Corinthians 11:29, and 1 Peter 3:12. So the opposition for the gospel is not passive. Either in our conduct or in the preaching of the gospel. And Paul says, the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench, to stop the fire of an already flaming fire, fiery darts. The word dart is the word arrow. In Africans, you like that word, arrow from your father's village. It's the word bellows, used for javelin. Javelin. Also used for a needle in Luke 13:25. Now, when you hear javelin, and something thrown at you, which imagery comes at you? David and Saul. That comes to your mind immediately. And in same here, there's an opposition that's just like that. Those who resist the gospel that you preach, they will mock you. After a while, they'll persecute you. So, but what do? Take on the old arm of God. Hallelujah. Take on the old arm of God. Where is that armor? That armor is in the ability of God that we receive at the new birth. Say, I have the ability and I have the armor. Say, I have the ability to fight the fight of faith. I have the ability to wrestle. I wrestle well. I have the ability to wage a good warfare. Hallelujah. You have that ability. There's not yet a weak Christian. There are only Christians that decided to be weak. The weak Christian is not the one who doesn't have ability. The weak Christian is the one that decided to be weak. You can stand for the gospel. You can be consistent with the gospel. You can be persistent. You have the authority of the believer over our own desires. Authority of the believer never to give in to opposition. Never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it mentions the element of salvation, for example, the word that Paul used elsewhere in Romans 13:12, 1 Corinthians 5:8, 2 Corinthians 6:6-7. So it's not specific. All he's saying to you, what you know in the word, put it to work. Put it to work. That means our knowledge of the word is for the word. Our knowledge of the gospel is for the gospel. Put it to work. The element, put it to work. What's the meaning of 5:8? So if it keeps for service, what did I say? If it keeps for service. If it keeps, I left that one till next week. If it keeps for service. That's why he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. We'll take it up on that one next week. So the whole arm of God is how you use the believer's authority. The believer's authority is not for self. The believer's authority is for Christ. It's for his cause in the earth. It's for his message. And whilst we are doing that, we put our bodies under. Hallelujah. Whilst we are doing that, we put our desires beside. Then he told them, said, he that will follow me, he will hate himself. Right? Remember that? Will take up his cross. He will hate himself. He that will gain his life will lose it. What's he talking about? Salvation? No. Service. So, the power that casts out demons as we preach and teach. The power that heals the sick as we preach and teach. Is available to make us stand when men oppose what we say and what we do, and when desires occur that conflict with the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So the power of God is working in me. I'm dedicated to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. So I put on the element of salvation that is found in Christ. I put on the breastplate of the righteousness that is found in Christ. I guard my heart and my mind with the truth that is found in Christ. I take on the shield of faith and I put off every flaming fire that comes for the enemy, that comes through the enemy. I am ready in my heart to go from place to place. And preach the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I have with me the sword of the Spirit, the message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I have authority to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. I also have authority to stand against every opposition to the gospel of Christ. We'll take it up from there next week. Hallelujah.